Good morning.
Good morning.
Come out. You can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I knew you could. I'm Paul Baalbek III, as you all know, unless you knew, but for anybody out there, today is 4/24/2022, and I'm teaching through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse. That's called expository teaching. And we're going to be in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. And we'll see if I get all my verses in today. Pray for me, will you? Keep Mary in prayer. She's got a cold today. And so let's open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of grace. We look so forward to that, our blessed hope, the rapture, because it's going to be such a fantastic time. Beginning there and then going and getting our rewards and serving you in heaven. Changed bodies, but I thank you for another day of grace where you're being long-suffering, holding back your wrath, because you desire all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so I pray if there's one listening, Father, today, whether it's they're here or whether through video or audio, and they've never trusted in Christ, I pray they'll trust. Realize they're a sinner, they can't save themselves, and realize Christ died for their sins. According to the scriptures, he was buried, and he rose the third day, according to the scriptures. And they would be eternally saved, justified before you. You declare them righteous, and it's justification on the life. And I pray your Holy Spirit will be the real, as always, Father, I pray, the real teacher here today. That you encourage us, that you help us to see the height, the depth, the width, and the length of this deep, deep mystery truth, so that we might understand the height, the depth, the width, and the length of your unconditional love, and that we might serve you because we love you because you first loved us. And we give Christ all the glory, and I also pray for the pastor when he does the church service, and we lift Mary up to you in prayer. I pray that you have mercy upon her. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's get right to it. Ephesians 2, verses, let's read them first, 11 through 15. Wherefore, remember, so let's not forget this. Right? And time passed. Oh, by the way, the name of my message is Time Passed, But Now. And then we also know how you rightly divide the word. Time passed, but now we live in the dispensation of grace and things to come, right? But today we're going to deal with time passed and but now. So, starting in verse 11, and we're going to read down to 15. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past. So, in the scriptures, there's time past, right? When you're studying God's word. And we have to recognize that. We're going to look at today in a little bit. How do you know you're in time past when you're studying the scriptures? Because in time past, God gave different instructions to different people in different dispensations and different ages, right? And today, we have our instructions, and where do we find that out? In Paul's epistles, right? He's the apostle to the Gentiles and to the body of Christ. So, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Boyd, were in Ephesians 2, 11 through 15. So, remember, time past, we were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, and that wasn't a very good term, if you want, when the Jews, they thought the Gentiles were Gentile dogs. And you know what? Pretty much, they were right. If you look past, in time past, at what the world was like, that's why you had the Tower of Babel, that's why you had the flood, right? Because man did what was right in their own eyes. And how much time changes, it stays the same, right? Today isn't getting back to that because we're leaving the Word of God out, you know, pushing God out of our schools, you know, unbelievers want to push them out of their lives. And so, wherefore remember that ye in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision, so the Jews, made, or circumcision in the flesh made by hands. See, the Jews thought they were really something, right? Because they were the circumcision. But, you know, as we find out, and especially when we come to Paul, he says we're going to be judged by his gospel, right? Why? Because Paul gives us that full revelation of the mystery, right? It was hidden in other ages. So he explains what actually the full, what God did in his, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he explains how God's got a heavenly program now, right? But so Paul will explain how could God, in the book of Romans, in time past, I think the King James says he winked, you know, what is, he overlooked, you know, the sins, like David's, right? Or Abraham. Abraham was a liar, right? David actually was like a murderer. Well, how could he overlook them? Because God knew what Christ was going to do, right? So they could get saved on a credit card system. It would be paid later, but God could make them righteous, right with him back then. You think of Noah, he found grace, right? By God's, from God. And I like what Pastor O'Hare used to say, that, you know, there's always been grace in every dispensation, but there's only one dispensation of grace, and that's what we live in. So we look at time back, and the Jews thought it would cut all these outward things, keeping the law, getting circumcised, when circumcision was actually a sign of an inward thing. You know, the law went deeper than the outward things, where, like Paul said, I was blameless, right, with the law. He meant the outward observance. Because all the law could do is condemn you, right? And then the law is the power of sin, Paul tells us. 1 Corinthians, I think, 15:56. Praise God, in Romans 6:14, we're not under law, or sin shall not have dominion over you, power over you. Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. All the law could do was fan your flesh. It says, don't do it. Do it, and the flesh rebels, right? What's it do? The opposite of what God tells it to do. And so that's why it's so important to rightly divide the word. So that's what we're looking at. He says in verse 12, that at that time, so what do we got? Time past, right? So in the Bible, there's a time past. And when you're studying it, you have to keep that in mind. When you're studying through Genesis, you know, all the way through the Old Testament, and even Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, as we're going to look at, that's time past. Different instructions. God dealt differently with the Gentiles in time past, didn't he? You know, they were, God always wanted to go to the Gentiles. I mean, he set them aside at the Tower of Babel, right? The nations. But he still, God is fantastic and wonderful and loving. He still wanted to reach the Gentiles, didn't he? But in time past, it would have been through Israel's wives, right? And that kingdom program, going to all the world, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making disciples. God wanted to do that. Israel got in his way, didn't he? But did that stop God? God, he's so wise. He's, like I said, he's awesome in wisdom and love. You know, God had a plan that he kept secret, and Satan carried it out, right? And now it's true. That's part of that mystery truth. Romans chapters 9, chapter 10, 11. Chapter 9, Israel's past. Chapters 10, Israel's present. Chapter 11, Israel's future. That God was apart from the nation Israel, totally apart from law. He's going to reach individual Gentiles now and Jews through the cross, right? Through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, at that time, ye were without Christ. Don't ever forget this. There was a time even in our lives, personal lives, right?
Amen.
If you're a believer, that you were without Christ. Me too. And I don't miss it. You know, I used to, when I was real young, baby Christian, but I used to rent a room, and it was an apartment. You shared the bathroom, the kitchen, and one guy in there was from AA, and he had been going for years. He didn't drink, but he always wanted to. When I got saved, Christ gave me what I was looking for in the drugs and the partying. He gave me that. He fulfilled me. I had peace and I had joy, and I didn't want to go back. There's a difference, right? That's what grace does, right? It's like now I don't have to be bound to something. I'm free to serve, free to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are, where Christ, through His Spirit, can express Himself out of us. So, but it wasn't always like that, right? That at that time, so time passed, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. This next few words are very, to me, some of the saddest words in the Bible. Without God and without God in the world. So that was the Gentiles, right? But you think of us too. We didn't have God. You know how people say everybody's God's children. God loves everybody. Well, they got the God loves everybody, right? But you have to, even Christ, when he's speaking to Nicodemus, said you got to be born again, born in the Spirit. And so everybody, you know, Christ talked to what, the Pharisees? He said, your father, the devil. That don't sound like that's God's children, right? See, and time passed. And I love this now. I love the but nows of Paul. But now, in Christ Jesus. See, everything we have from God is because of Christ, right? It's of being in Christ. And we're in Christ by what? The mystery, right? We're connected in union with Him in His heavenly ministry, not His earthly ministry. So, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were, are ye, who were, who sometimes were far off, are made near. How? By the blood of Christ, the precious blood of Christ. Amen. We were purchased at a price, right? Therefore, glorify God with our bodies, right? You know, I was thinking about that on the way here, that God purchased us. He owns us. And it costs an infinite cost. The life is in the blood. Christ gave His life for us, right? He shed His blood. But you know, God's not looking to force us to serve Him. Do you know that? He wants us to do it out of gratitude. He could have made us robots, right? You know? Program us, say how wonderful He is, and do everything, never sin. But He didn't want a people like that. He wanted the people to have a will to choose. We can trust Him and by faith apply His word in our lives, because we're looking at rightly dividing the word here. But what I want to say, and I always try and bring this out to use and myself and whoever's out there, that it's not just only understanding right division. It is important. You're going to be confused in the Bible. You're not going to know what are God's instructions for today if you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? If you don't rightly divide it, you're going to wrongly confuse it and try and wrongly apply it. But the reason we study and you learn how to rightly divide, so you know where to go to for your instructions and your commands, and what are commands supposed to be for? For us to obey. What are instructions for? To application. So we learn these things so we don't get confused. We know what are our instructions, right? And what God's looking for, what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. And that's where we voluntarily want to worship God by offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. It's not getting the big doctrine head, like I always say. We need doctrine, right? We need sound doctrine. That means healthy. That's what sound doctrine does. It makes your spiritual walk healthy, but only if we're applying it. And we're not going to apply it perfect. You know, I'm not trying to tell you I do, because I, you know, Bill's missing and I come up short daily, you know. But the thing is, that's what growth is. Spiritual growth is applying it. You get what I call a holy habit, and you develop these holy habits where you don't even think. Now in this area, you're walking in the Spirit. Now God's going to, he's never done with us, because we got a lot of construction. We're new creations, but our minds need to be renewed, right? And what happens when our minds are renewed? How do you get your mind renewed? Through the Word of God. How do you study? You rightly divide it. Why? So you can apply it, right? And that's transformation. It starts inwardly. You start thinking like God thinks. You know, it's the mind of Christ. You start having attitudes like Christ. And what is that? Love, right? And you grow spiritually. You don't got to say none, but do you want to grow? I ask that all the time. Why you come to church? Why you come to adult Sunday school? Is it just to get knowledge, or to say, oh, we're a good Christian family. We go to church every week. My mom used to say that. Oh, we're a good Christian family, if the cults would knock on the door. Anyway, let's keep going. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one. He's talking about Jew and Gentile. Now, individual Jews and Gentiles. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We're going to look what that was. So you'll know when you're in time past, when you're studying your Bible. So you won't get confused on instructions. Having abolished in its flesh having abolished in his flesh, so Christ's flesh, the enmity. That's like, you know, you think of what? An enemy, right? What's that? Even the law of commandments. That's a law that was against us. You know what? You know how many churches this morning are going to be preaching law to their people? Because they think it makes them holy. There was this Lutheran apologetics ministry, and I used to listen to him. And you really got to discern. You got to watch, you know, when you're hearing things taught. And what they said is Lutherans teach that first you give God's people the law, then you give them grace. That sounds like a mixture of law and grace, right? Do oil and water mix? No. And God doesn't want us mixing law and grace. Law was good when it was in vogue, right, in time past. But it's bad today. There ain't nothing wrong with the law. It's holy, righteous, Paul says, right? It's good. But the problem is when it flows through this flesh. That's the problem. And it just can fan your flesh. And if you get people under the law, any type of legalism, what is legalism? Any form of teaching that where you have to clean yourself up, make yourself acceptable to God. Because we're already accepted in the beloved as believers, right? That's why the law, what did Paul say? The law had a purpose, right? It was to show us our sinfulness so we would come to Christ, right? Show us our condition so we come to Christ for his provision, right? Paul said once, you know, faith has come, we're no longer under the school teacher, the schoolmaster. That's all it was supposed to do. It's for the unsaved, to show them they're a sinner. And that's the only way you use it today. Not believers. Because all the law will do in a believer's life is condemn you. You want to feel condemned? I don't. Nobody said none. Maybe you like it like that. Anyway. I appreciate grace so much because I've been under legalism, spiritually beat up every week, you know, leaving church, not understand my identity in Christ. I was thinking, how could God use me? I'm just a filthy sinner, you know? Am I really even saved? That's a terrible way to be, you know? I thank God when I learned the doctrine of the two natures. So I used to wonder, how could I think these thoughts if I'm a Christian? Yeah. And then Craig Macy, he had the two natures within you. I read that book and it was such a blessing. Thank God. I thank God all the time, every day or every couple of few days, for the people he used in my life to point out things about God's grace and His Word and right division. And then I researched it on my own. And the fruit of my ministry to use is based upon because other people invested in me. Some of them didn't even know me. I read book. I like to read. So he says, verse 14, for he is our peace who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall or partition between us. So there's a middle wall of partition when you're in time past. Let me ask some. Does anybody know what that is?
The wall of partition. It's the law, isn't
it? Okay, the law. As we'll see. First, it was circumcision. What separated Jews from Gentiles? And then the law, which came, I think, what was it, 430 years later or something? Or, anyway, the law later came along and made it even thicker, that wall that separated. Because think of even in the temple in Israel, the Gentiles had to be out there. They couldn't come in here. They were still secondary citizens. And so he said, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law was nailed to the cross. But where do we find that out at? There's one person in the Bible who tells us. Paul, right? Colossians, Ephesians, that's right here. He's telling us. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances to make in himself twain, one new man, so making peace. So the Jews, again, the circumcision, they considered Gentiles, uncircumcised Gentiles, dogs. And like I said, they weren't wrong in that, because the things that went on in the Gentile world, you researched what they would, you know, they had temple prostitutes and different things. And they're just, you know, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. It got terrible. They were sacrificing their babies alive. And keep in prayer, in California, they got, I don't get political up here, but I don't know if it got passed or they're going to vote on it. From, I think it's 28 days old, the baby could be, and you could still, they would call it abort it. I would call it kill it. You see how bad it's getting? When you leave God's word, the light of his word, and everybody starts doing what's right in their own eyes, when you can do that to a little baby, you know, I mean, even I would think unsaved people, that would make a lot of them revolting to kill a, you know, not quite a month old baby that's born. Keep that in prayer. Anyway. So when we study our Bibles, how do we know what books of the Bible are in time past? That's what verse 14 says, right? Time past. Again, you know by when that middle wall of partition is still up, there's a difference between Jew and Gentile. And then later, well, you add circumcision, and later came the law beside it that even made it, you know, fortified it. Go to Genesis 1:11, please. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. You know what? No, 17. I thought, why am I going to Genesis 1? 1:17? Genesis 17, 1 to 11. So this is God giving Abraham, who would come out of Abraham?
Isaac.
Then you got Jacob, and out of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? So God gave this to Israel. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 99 years old. I hope I don't live that long. That's got to be a lot of aches and pains. I'm getting them now. The Lord appeared to Abram, but what I do want to say, it don't matter what age you are. Like the pastor talked about Caleb. He's what, 80 years old? And he said, give me that mountain. See, we can do all things through Christ. You never retire from ministry. Because our life is our ministry, right? Kirk, would you say, never think of your life, your ministry apart from your life, or your life apart from your ministry, because your life is your ministry. So he's 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. How far did I say? Verse 11. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after me. So that's going to be the Jews. In their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land. This is where God's promised him the land of Israel. Thou art the stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in these generations. Well, what's a covenant? Keep reading. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee, the Jews. Every man's child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So God gave Abraham what? The covenant of circumcision. That separated them from the Gentiles. And then we'll see, the law comes in later and even makes a bigger separation. Remember God at Tower of Babel? He set the nations aside and he confused the languages, and he had nothing to do with them after that. And then after that, what happens? I don't got time to go into it. It's in Genesis. He raises up Abraham, right? And like I said, out of Abraham is going to come the nation Israel, and God's going to deal with the early program through that nation, right? So, go to Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2. A few books to your right. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel. Who? Remember, I always say, who's speaking when you're studying the Bible or reading it? Who's speaking? Who are they speaking to? Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them. See, he's going to talk about the law. What's the law say? Do or don't, right? If you do these, I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. And that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add to the word which I have commanded you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, I get tongue-tied with the King James, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I have commanded you. So God gave the law to Israel, right? Go to Exodus 19, 5 to 8. Or wait, go to verses here, 6 to 8 first. Keep therefore and do them, the law. For this is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the nation. See, when the nation saw this holy law that God gave his people, right? They were supposed to make a difference. And which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? See, that's what Israel is supposed to be, a light. They had God's law. They had God. But what'd they do? Kept falling into idolatry, right? They were supposed to be a teachers of babes, teachers of Gentiles. And instead, they looked down on them like they were somebody. Paul deals with early in Romans, you know, you think because you're a Jew, you know, and you got the law. It's not those who got it, it's those who keep it, right? Go to Exodus 19, 5 and 8. Exodus 19, verses 5 to 8. Exodus 19, verse 5 to 8. Give me a chance to get there. And give my chance to roll my snaps. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant, what's that? Covenant law. So you had the covenant of circumcision, right? Now you have the law coming in, fortifying that middle wall of partition. And keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be under me, unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Who is that to? Israel, right? We're not a kingdom of priests. We're not a holy nation. The United States for sure ain't a holy nation. It's been a great nation because when we had our roots in God's word and faith in God, trust in God. But you see how far we've come from there. And so it's to the nation of Israel, they'll become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words, see who's the two? These are the words which thou shalt speak to the body of Christ later in the dispensation of grace. Is that what it says? No. It says to the children of Israel, the Jews. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people. They represented the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord God commanded him. And all the people, check this out, they signed a verbal agreement that they would keep the law. It says, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people to the Lord. You know what they should have said? They already had a relationship with God, right? When he called them out of Egypt, right? God, they had a relationship based on, actually, it was grace. They didn't deserve it, right? They should have said, God, these are too holy. We can't do it. But what'd they do? Give me the pens. Give me the pen. Verbally. We'll keep God's law. You talk about pride. But it goes in the church today too, right? How about that guy at that picnic, remember? He said he keeps God's law. That guy we were talking to. I said, whoa, bro. Do you know what the law calls for? Perfection. You tell me you're perfect? Oh, well, no. What are you talking about then? Yeah. Let's go. So we see when we're in the Old Testament, right? That's under law, right? It's time past, right? But you say, but the New Testament, you know that section in your Bibles that says the New Testament just before Matthew? Men wrote that, right? They made that division. The New Covenant or New Testament, because it can go either way, I've looked it up, that word in the Greek, is doesn't start in Matthew. A will and testament in Hebrews, it said it doesn't come into effect until the death of the testator, right? So during Christ's early ministry, he's still teaching under law. Are we under law? Are we supposed to follow Christ in his early ministry under law, teaching Israel? Well, let's let the scripture speak for itself. When we're now in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then early Acts, there's still that middle wall of partition up. There's a difference of Jew and Gentile. When you're in, but now there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, right? Where do you find that in? Paul's epistles. Go to Matthew 10, 3 to 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 3 to 7. Matthew 10, 3 to 7. Philip and Bartholomew, actually, starting in verse 2. In verse 1, he called his 12 disciples, right? Gave them power on their unclean spirits, cast them out to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now, the name of the 12, so he tells us who they are, in verse 2 and verse 3. Let's start in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into any city of the Samaritans, and enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. How are you going to apply that today? If you're going to follow Christ in his early ministry, teaching Jews on the law, then you can't go to the Gentiles. What are you doing here? You should be in Israel, right? See, this is time past. Aren't you glad? Because today, God is reaching out to Gentiles, apart from Israel. Go to Matthew 15, verse 24 to 26. People say, when you tell them that Christ sent Paul, and Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit, right? Because the Holy Spirit was in Paul, and Paul wrote down exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted, that he gives us the commands from Christ. But what commands? Commands from heaven and the promises, because we live in it, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, right? So go, what did I say? Matthew 15, 24 to 26. Thank you, Lori. Lori's listening, all right. Like that. But he answered and said, this is Christ. I am not sent, but under the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So again, you tell people that Paul said to follow him as he followed Christ, right? Well, did Paul follow Christ under law? No. Paul didn't even know Christ back then. It's in his heavenly ministry. So Paul is our pattern in salvation. He said he was saved in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I think it's 1 Timothy, verse 16 or 15, that he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe thereafter. And then we get our instructions from Paul, and even our example, how Paul did ministry. And then he just invested his life, right? He poured it out in worship to God and for the body of Christ too. But here, so you tell people about Paul's our apostle. Christ appointed him to steward God. Oh, I don't follow Paul. Paul's just man. I follow Christ. Where? You talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Well, let's read this. Christ, but he answered Christ and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That means that he ain't got nothing to do with you. You think you're following Christ? If Christ sent Paul, and with our instructions, then if we're trusting Christ and obeying Christ, then we're going to follow Paul's instructions. Just like, what did God give Moses? The law for the nation Israel, right? And if they didn't follow that law, they got in trouble with God, right? We need, Christ gave Paul our instructions. See, it's two different sets of instructions to do two different people in two different dispensations, right? And so he says, now, I don't got time because, you know, I always got verses left over, but in the context here, it's a woman of Canaan. So she wasn't a Jew, okay? She's Gentile. And her daughter's, she's got a vex with the devil. And she's coming, and, you know, the disciples are like, she's bugging us, Lord, you know. So they told him, send her away, for she cried after us. But what's he say? And he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, I'm not sent to the Gentiles. Not then he wasn't. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And what did he say? But he answered and said, it is not meet, it's not proper to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, even Christ. But he said it in a nicer way, because in the Greek, the idea is the little dogs. You know, where the Jew would look down at Gentile dog. Christ still had compassion. And, you know, he did heal her. You know why? She understood the program. It was Israel first, then Gentiles would get blessed. And Christ was astounded. This is a Gentile, understood better than the Pharisees that were supposed to know the law and God's word, right? But I just want you to see there, he said, I'm only sent, in his first advent when he came, he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to Matthew 5:17. Remember, this is time past. This is Christ. Think not that I have come to destroy the law. So he didn't come to do away with the law in his early ministry or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So during Christ's early ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, what is he doing? He's fulfilling the law, right? Perfectly, to the T. And he's also teaching under the law, right? He's teaching the stringency of the law. That's why the Pharisees thought, I don't do this. And remember the Pharisee in the temple next to the tax collector? Looking down on him, you know, I'm not like sinners, and I do this, I fast, twice a week or something. And he's just, you know, and look, I'm not like sinner. And they would roll their lip, sinner. Yeah, and today you'll get that legalism, right? Oh, you want them grace people. Dude, Elvis Presley, roll their lip back, right? Say, yes, I am. Praise God. But I just want you to see there, This is time past, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Did anything change at Pentecost? Go to Acts 2, 36 to 39. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 39. See if there's still a difference between Jew and Gentile here. Because if there is, we ain't in the but now. See, Pentecost wasn't the beginning of the body of Christ, as is most prevalently taught in Acts 2 dispensationalism, right? They call, you know, mid-Acts believers hyper-dispensationalists, extreme. See, they don't even know what that is. Acts 28ers, they're the extreme hyper-dispensationalists. They don't believe, you know, they believe in soul sleep, nobody's going to go to hell, blah, blah, blah. That only Paul's prison epistles are to us, all the other ones aren't. And I always think they're premature dispensationalists, because the body of Christ, they started prematurely at Pentecost, right? It didn't begin at Pentecost because God hadn't set that nation and that program aside yet. That's not till the stoning of Stephen, and then God started in Acts chapter, what is that, 7? He started phasing out, diminishing their program out. So by the time Acts 28, that program's completely aside. And in Acts 9, God begins what? The body of Christ and the dispensation of grace. And it's in full bloom then, you know, by Acts 28. But the books that are written by Paul are all about the body of Christ and to the body of Christ. Don't, you know what the Acts 28ers do? They get people who already, they understand the body of Christ started in like a mid-Acts position, and then they're real slick, you know, with their little scriptures, and then they'll influence them and try and bring them in, if you want, to their flock. Don't fall for it. Know the scriptures for yourself. And maybe you'll help bring somebody out of that extreme. It's a bad position. So Acts 2, 36 to 39. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, who? That's the Jews. Know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? I think they're saying, what do we do? How do we get saved? You know, they were pricked to their heart. Then Peter said unto them, now if this is the beginning of the body of Christ, then this is what we should be doing and teaching. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, not for a testimony like the Baptists say today in the denominations. Your first testimony, you're following Christ in water baptism, you know, obedience. That's not what Peter says, does he? It's for the remission of sins. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, who is this to? For the promises unto you and all your children, there's still, God's not done with Israel. He's still dealing with that nation. Remember Christ said from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Well, God answered that prayer. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter's offering them the kingdom. If they'll repent, change their mind. So we see, even in early Acts, and even James, what does he say? Paul went, visited with them. How many Jews are zealous for the law? He didn't know God nailed the law to the cross, did he? So, who's James writing to? James, to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, Jews. See, that's things to come. Peter, James, John, you know, the book of Revelation that John wrote. The book of Hebrews, who's it to? Hebrews, and it's things to come. We're in the but now, right? So it's not until the Apostle Paul, till our Apostle Paul reveals to us that the law was nailed to the cross. And we just read that in Ephesians, right? Go to Colossians 2, 10 to 14. And I'm trying to close up. Colossians 2, 10 to 14. Because we already read it in Ephesians. And ye are complete in him. Now, who's Paul writing to? The body of Christ, right? And ye are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are to circumcise. He's talking about inwardly. We've been cut out of Adam, right? Read Romans chapter 6, first few verses. You died with Christ, you were buried, you rose, you were buried. You were cut out of Adam with circumcision, cutting away the flesh, right? And so he says, in whom you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So for your notes, put Romans 6, 3 to 5. Or 1 to 5, actually. Buried with him in baptism. What is that? Identification. He's not talking about water. It's a circumcision without hands, right? Well, this is a baptism without hands. We're baptized, what? By the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, right? We're placed into it, identified with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who has raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out, this is the law, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Only Paul tells us that the law, that we're not under law. Why? God nailed it to the cross. Peter, and maybe later, Peter and James and them learned something. You know, Peter was with the Gentiles for a while, and then he got hypocritical, right, when Jews from James came. So we see the law was nailed to the cross, and then in Romans 6, 14, what does Paul tell us? Sin shall not have dominion over you. It won't have power over you. Why? Because you're not under law. You're under grace. And so, I'm just going to read this. And let's remember, as we study God's word of truth, to rightly divide it, right? As we are commanded to do in 2 Timothy 2:15. But let's not stop there. Let's apply those heavenly instructions to the details of our lives. All scriptures for our learning, right? Our comfort and our profit. So we study all the Bible, not just Paul's epistles. But we won't get the profit that God designed and desires for us to get if we don't rightly divide God's word. And understand only in our Apostle Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, are directly to and about us in the body of Christ, who live in the dispensation of grace. If we don't rightly divide God's word, then Satan will rob us of our understanding of that vast, our heavenly spiritual blessings in heavenly places that we're blessed in Christ. So hopefully that helps, and especially this is, to me, basic stuff, but we need to be reminded sometime, you know. So when you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, now you can understand he's teaching about their earthly kingdom program. And then you can get edified from it. Because there's principles there too that we can learn from for our lives even. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for teaching us how to study it, to rightly divide it, that we might be approved of you, Father. And then you want us to be approved workmen. It's you who works in us, both to will and to do according to your good pleasure. We were saved on the good works. We're your workmanship, Father. And you want to do that through us. Help us to apply, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, apply these truths to the daily in our lives, And I thank you, Father, when we fail, we don't have to focus on our failures, but as we learn our identity in Paul's epistles, that we would just focus on that, focus on Christ, and as Paul said, forget the past and press on to a high heavenly calling in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.